Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
The Esports Awards were in full effect over the weekend, and no, we didn't receive an Esport Award, but we should have. Welcome into Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP, we're going to describe our favorite games poorly, plus we're going to check out what happened out at DreamHack Atlanta. Those conversations coming up today here on Checkpoint XP.
Head to CheckpointXP.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
The Esports Awards. It's a novel idea to have, you know, an entire award show just dedicated to esports that's not like spun off of the ESPYs or whatever, but the esports industry was busy patting itself on the back over the weekend with the Esports Awards.
That's right. So we wanted to go ahead and go through some of the big highlights here, and we're going to start with the breakthrough esports game of the year. And honestly, this could only go to one game, and that was the champion that finally dethroned Super Smash Bros. Melee, a game that's been being played for how many years now, Norris?
It's Ultimate, okay?
It's Smash
an old
Ultimate.
Game,
that's right. And
but
Smash,
it's Smash Ultimate.
Ultimate,
right?
Right. Finally dethroned him.
Now, just to explain, the two games that had come out since Melee on the GameCube
were not well received.
They were not well received specifically by the competitive scene.
That's right.
And now Ultimate, which came out on the Switch earlier last year.
That's right, December last year.
December last year has now become the official competitive standard for Smash Brothers.
That's
I think
right.
that's definitely notable.
For sure, for sure. Of course, then we also have the esports live event of the year going to none other than the League of Legends World Championship.
Listen,
how do they not just get this award every year?
I don't know, because they put on really some of the best, you know, performances and visual effects for their opening ceremony than any other esport event anywhere of all time. It's really that good.
To that point, the game's dunk.
Yeah.
And all anyone can talk about still is Worlds because of that wonderful true damage performance.
Well, if you count the whole month of just Worlds as a competition, it was brilliant. But the final, yeah, it did. It stunk a
lot. It stunk.
Yeah. Well, speaking of League of Legends, they also nabbed Esports Game of the Year
It deserved it.
Maybe because there weren't any games that came out that became esports this year. But like, what makes a 10-year-old game worthy of Game of the Year in 2019?
Let me tell you now. First of all, it's the most sustainable esports league in the world.
Okay.
It is the number one game on Twitch consistently in the world.
Okay.
It is one of the most streamed games in the world. One of the most profitable games in the world. What other criteria
argue,
do I need to give you?
No, fair enough.
All right, well,
shut me up.
Go ahead and explain this one to me then, because Team of the Year goes to G2 Esports, specifically in League of Legends, when Fun Plus Phoenix, the winner of Worlds, was also nominated.
Well, I think because G2 was a team that was so dominant throughout the entire calendar year.
You ain't
right?
First or
no.
Last.
No. But if you're going to count the whole year, then yeah, G2 is up there. But
I don't think that's it. I think it's a preconceived notion that a team from China or Korea is going to win. What makes G2 worthy of this award is the fact that they come out of the European region.
Yes,
that's
I think that is very much so a factor.
Yeah.
All right, Esports Organization of the Year goes to Team Liquid, which I'm not even going to try to argue.
That makes
not at
all the sense in the world.
Not
they
at
had
all.
A fire year.
Mm-hmm. Now, just I want to put a preface. The difference between team and organization, a team is based in just one game. Organization is, you know, top down
multiple
all
teams,
of the esports
yes.
that mm-hmm. they participate
yep.
in.
Host of the Year goes to Golden Boy, who's been everywhere, so why wouldn't he be?
So deserved. Mm-hmm. So deserved.
Esports Caster of the Year is Henry G. Greer, which I believe is a CSGO caster. Is that right, Mr. Weirdbeard?
Correct. He calls most of he was most recently in Star Ladder.
All right,
okay, thank you, Nujo. Shut up.
Esports Console Player of the Year, Sonic Fox. No one's going to try to disagree
no,
on
not
that
gonna,
one.
Not
no,
at
all.
Not
on
at
the
all.
Side of that, the PC Player of the Year goes to Kyle Booga Giersdorf.
Now, if you remember, Booga was the kid that won $3 million at the Fortnite World Championship.
16 years old at that point,
that's
too.
That's right.
He also took PC Rookie Player of the Year, or PC Rookie of the Year as well. Streamer of the Year, Dr. Disrespect.
How do you commit a crime at one of the most visible video game conventions of the year and then get Streamer of the Year?
This was so disappointing to me. Because I don't understand how he wins over even somebody like Pokimane.
No respect for Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, that's right. And finally, we have the Esports Journalist of the Year, Richard Lewis.
Yeah, and apparently he got up on stage and had some choice words for the audience.
And they want to write the history, and they want to tell the stories. And you know who I'm talking about? Polygon. People like that. Waypoint. The Kotakus. Right? And their approach to writing about our thing is twofold. They've consistently embarrassed themselves writing pieces that expose their complete ignorance about our scene, lack of sources, and unoriginal opinions on topics we have talked to death for 20 years.
Okay, who let the gamer gator into the room?
All right, time out. Because first of all, I don't want to just draw my ire at him. I want to throw my ire at the people clapping, too. Because
And by the way, Dr. Disrespect giving a big standing ovation. The only one giving a standing ovation, I might add. But yeah, giving a big standing ovation. But you're in good company there, Richard.
But the reason why I think this is so off base is because, you know, we can talk about Kotaku and Polygon all we want. But they, especially Kotaku, has been at the forefront of some of the biggest stories in gaming, such as, you know, the expose on on Riot Games and everything that was going on with there, with stuff like sexual harassment and toxic work environments. And nobody was talking about that stuff before they were.
Listen, all I'm going to say is I haven't read any compelling bylines by Richard Lewis lately. But then again, I'm not hanging out at Breitbart. So.
Well, you probably missed his great article, Gatekeeping 101.
God, it really was gross. Like, there's a time and a place for this kind of stuff. Like, I don't disagree with having that point of view.
Sure.
But is on stage at the Esports Awards really the best place to be airing that kind of laundry?
I definitely don't think you need to be slamming your cohorts while you're on stage.
Is gaming supposed to be inclusive? Esports is just as much a part of gaming as it is vice versa.
Listen, it's wholly inappropriate given the shockwaves that just went through that organization, 2 weeks ago when a lot of their colleagues were laid off from a sister publication? Come on, you're kicking someone when they're down. And I don't think that that's fair. And fine, take whatever pot shots you want to on whatever award show that you're given, but I think that it's disrespectful, it's disingenuous, and quite frankly doesn't make me want to read whatever you're writing, Richard. Anyway, alright, so when you're backed into a corner, the best thing to do is go on the offense, right, Richard? Right? Just ask G2 in our close shave of the week.
I stay close to the heat.
Close shave. Turn out. On Checkpoint XP.
Caps, death from below. Kills down to Doombeast. It's a 5v4, but the HP is low. Chris gets tagged. Caps goes down. It's another one, but look at the damage from Wonder. He's looking for LWX. Goon turns around with a parlay. LWX gets the boomerang, gets the ricochet. The round warp comes out, and G2 escape.
That was such a great call. That was the first game of the World Championships in League of Legends, and G2 only were competitive in that match, and they lost they lost the subsequent two matches, and they eventually fall to FunPlus for you.
Check out the Checkpoint XP Close Shave of the Week at our website, checkpointxp.com. Time to talk about one of the latest huge releases that's out there just in time for the holiday season. Of course, I'm talking about Hideo Kojima's brand new game, Death Stranding.
Yes.
This is a huge deal because Hideo Kojima is probably one of the few video game auteurs that's left in the industry. Highly respected both by people inside of the industry as well as fans alike. He had a very visible public split from the company that had employed him since I was born, 1984, Konami, and split off and joined Sony about a year ago and has been developing Death Stranding. Finally out. Norris, you and I have both been playing pretty voraciously. Why don't you give just a quick rundown of what a new player to Death Stranding can expect?
Yeah, so basically what you are going to be able to look forward to when you're playing any Kojima game is some general weirdness, right? He's very heady. A lot of his writing is very heavy-handed, so if you are not a fan of that kind of stuff,
right,
I would veer as far away from this game as possible.
If you're a fan of like surrealist media or
David Lynch,
Alexander Yardwowski,
yeah,
those kind of things, like if that's your vibe, then you will really be into this.
You will.
So I have a confession to make. I'm about 20 hours in.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of chapter 3, and I kind of stalled out.
Could you pretend to try?
I am trying. I'm a huge Kojima fan. I've loved every Kojima game I've ever played.
How are you a Kojima fan and you haven't finished this game? It's been out a week.
Listen,
let me tell you right now. The game is one of the most beautifully crafted pieces of gaming art in this generation of video games, okay? It is that good. And yes, the story is incomprehensible, and I have no idea what's going on half the time. But all I know is I got 95 pounds of packages on my back, and they got to get across the desert.
If I get anything less than an S ranking, I'm usually retrying the mission. Exactly. It's taking me forever, and I get little tidbits of story, and I'm like, I just need more, man. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Have you been playing Death Stranding? In fact, we've actually got a caller coming up who was playing Death Stranding, has a question about it. But we want to connect with you on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, kind of inspired by this conversation, we're going to describe a game poorly. Plus, we've got Nailed It and Failed It coming up this hour. And we're going to talk about DreamHack Atlanta. Those conversations all coming up this hour here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we're going to check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The latest esports news is right here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as CBS Sports Radio 1450 in Reno, Nevada. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we got to check out who nailed it and who failed it. Plus, we just talked about Death Stranding. It's a really weird game, but when you try to describe even your favorite games, it can also kind of get kind of weird. Plus, we got to talk about all the action that went down at DreamHack Atlanta. Those conversations ahead here this hour on Checkpoint XP. But first,
oh my God!
South America could be getting some much-needed love in the esports space come 2020 as ESL is thinking about bringing their first major of the year to Brazil. The Rio 1 major would take place in May, but it's not officially confirmed as of this time.
This is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And the reason that this is such a big deal is because South America has been a scene that has been largely underrepresented when it comes to tournaments. And so I would love to see a major tournament kind of come in and drop some visibility on the local scene that happens there, because there's some great talent in South America.
And on top of that, it's also just, one of the most vibrant and one of the most vocal scenes out there for CSGO. It kind of has been for many years. But Brazil is a place that definitely needs the love. It definitely needs the representation, and I'm excited for it.
We know Overwatch has had its share of roster madness this fall, and now it's League of Legends' turn. We've seen Sven of TSM go to Cloud9, Team Liquid's ex-Smithy going to Immortals, and LCS MVP Sven Skaren moving to Evil Geniuses from Cloud9.
Wow.
We know for a fact that the LCS is going to look very different next season.
Couple that on top of the fact that there's not one, not two, but three totally new teams, totally new franchises that are coming to the LCS I mean, these roster moves are massive.
Oh, they're huge. And all of Team 9, I'm sorry, all of Cloud 9 has been essentially gutted.
Oh, Cloud 9's depressing offseason continues as their longtime bot laner and cosplay extraordinaire Sneaky has said he will not return to the team in 2020. During a stream, he said he felt he would be fighting back for his spot against people that don't want him to be there.
Yeah, no. Apparently, it came up on the show a little bit faster than you were thinking, Norris. But yeah, this is a big deal. Like, most of Cloud9's League of Legends roster has basically been deleted.
Yeah, their MVP jungler gone, their top laner gone, their bot laner gone.
I mean, and this is a team that 2 years ago, you know, took NA to the farthest that they've ever been in the bracket for Worlds.
Yes.
I think that this is a big deal. Like, this has got to be heartbreaking for C9 fans.
Well, this is one of those moments where, you know, it feels like the team had gone as far as they could have gone. Even though there were a team that could have maybe took it to the next level or maybe been a contender for Worlds, I think the organization and those players felt like the ship had run its course and it was time for everybody to make a different move.
Yeah,
one thing's for sure, they're definitely no longer on Cloud 9.
Oh, boo.
Outstanding.
No!
That was terrible!
You didn't even get a snicker in the room, and you gave yourself an outstanding?
I'm amazing.
No.
Lastly in League, the greatest player of all time, Faker, is re-signing.
He's coming to end. Oh.
No.
Re-signing with Korean juggernaut SK Telecom T1 until 2021. With Faker, SKT became the first Korean team to win Worlds in 2013 and the only team to win back-to-back Worlds in 2015 and 2016.
I really want to see Faker in another region. Just because I just want to see how much he can stomp on other regions. But it's like the Ronaldo-Messi question, right? Cristiano Ronaldo's done it in many leagues in many countries, and Lionel Messi's only done it in Barcelona. It really doesn't matter. Faker's the GOAT. He's going to be around till 2021. And that at least gives me solace in knowing that he'll be in this game for another 2 years.
Between the SKT signing and the Nike deal, what do you think Faker pulls down?
Ooh, 50 million.
We just need money.
It's got to be a lot, right?
It's got to be a lot.
Oh, my God. He's making the bag.
Yeah.
Veteran Overwatch player Ryu Jaehong might be leaving the Seoul Dynasty behind, but that doesn't mean the Dynasty are ready to let go. In the stream, the COO of Seoul Dynasty, Arnold Herr, said that because of the player... Arnold Herr said that because of the support player's contributions to the organization, no one would ever wear the number 14 for Seoul ever again.
So they're retiring his number.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of that. You know what? That's kind of a nice gesture, right?
I think so.
I this is not normal for esports. You don't see this happen a lot.
No, but I think it's really cool because Ryu Jaehong is somebody who's been involved with this organization for many years. He was a part of Lunatic High, which is what the Seoul Dynasty were before the Overwatch League was a thing. And he has contributed many, many, many years to that org. And I think this is a great gesture for one of the greatest players in Overwatch. And it is sad to see him not play for Seoul anymore, but I think it's good to see them respect what he gave to the org.
Yeah, I can't put it better myself, Norris. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Robbie, for the update. The Houston Outlaws spent most of their 2019 season in limbo as they were owned by Immortals Gaming Club, the same company that owns the LA Valiant. Since an organization isn't allowed to own two teams, the Outlaws have been patiently waiting for a buyer, and that wait is finally over.
That's right, and we are proud to announce, too, that our parent company, the Beasley Media Group, is the new owner of the Houston Outlaws.
This is really cool. This is so cool. Now, okay, Robbie, this is your all-time favorite OWL team. Even from season one, you were one of the first people on this cast.
That's right.
To have an OWL jersey, and that OWL jersey was the Houston Outlaws.
Yeah.
It's a big deal for you.
I'm excited too. You know, and we saw these moves in the offseason. You know, they picked up Harsha Bandy, which could not have been a cheap pickup. They got Hydration, who we know has had multiple offers. So while these moves were happening, I'm like, how is this possible? How is it that they're getting these great moves and the Valiant is doing nothing? And then, you know, eventually, surprise, surprise, Beasley comes in with this amazing announcement. And in the day the announcement was made, they threw me on stream with Flame, the general manager of the Houston Outlaws.
Which,
play Overwatch with him. And I'm like, oh.
So wait a minute. You actually got to have a tryout for the Houston Outlaws.
I did.
How'd you do?
We played two quick play matches. The first one was used to christen the partnership.
That's right.
And we won. We stomped them.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay.
We owned so hard. He was on Orisa. I was playing support on Zenyatta on Kings Row, which also historically is a great Outlaws map, by the way.
Yes.
Might actually be one of their best maps. But yeah, we rolled them. The second match we don't talk about all that.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think that I'm going to be joining the Houston Outlaws anytime soon. We'll put it that way.
Let's actually check out a quick clip from Robbie's stream with Flame. And you can check out the full thing over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Is there any other team that the guys sort of look at as like their rivals?
This year, I mean, I would have said like Fusion or something last year or this year even, but a lot of the teams had a lot of turnover, so I don't really know if that's the case anymore. It's like hard to be rivals with an organization versus like a, you know, like mm-hmm. a team or a group of players.
Remember, you can find that full conversation available over at our website, checkpointxp.com. But yeah, man, you sounded so geeked to be there and just to be on stream with him. Like, how did you not, like, and I have to give you credit here because you know.
You kept it professional.
Yeah, you were a pro, but how did you keep from fanboying?
I've actually met Flame once before.
Oh, have you?
Out at I think it was our second year at E3. I actually got to chat with him for a minute. I actually got his autograph on one of my Outlaws jerseys. But, you know, recently we've had a chance to also talk with Harsha Bandy and Rockus, and that kind of got a little bit of, like, the fanboying out of my system, so kind of going into that, it wasn't as bad. But you know who I really want to hear from, you know, someone who especially through Low Team Damage, the Overwatch podcast that we do, has spent, you know, no end of their energy slamming me for my love of the Houston Outlaws. Norris, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, it's not that I had anything against the Outlaws.
This is slightly awkward.
No, it is. Listen, I'm going to be honest. All right, the team underperformed. The team underperformed.
They had a tough 2019.
The team underperformed.
For someone who came out strong in the first season and was primarily the exact same team.
But I am looking forward to seeing what the ownership of Beasley does for the team. It seems to have reinvigorated them.
They just picked up Mecco from New York Excelsior.
I'm enjoying all of the recent acquisitions and signings. So I will also be following the team very closely, but it's still runaway fighting over here.
Robbie, I got to get your prediction for 2020. What do you see for the 2020 season for the Houston Outlaws?
If they don't at least make it to playoffs, I think there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be very, very disappointed. Harsha himself said that he has playoff aspirations, if not going for the championship.
He's a man who's been there himself more than a few times.
They got playoff caliber talent.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, so I mean, if they can't make this work, I don't have an answer for you.
They've changed everything they can change.
Exactly. I will be at a complete loss for words. Honestly, probably either way that it goes, I'm going to be at a complete loss for words. But I'm telling you, 2020 Outlaws are a team to watch.
It's going to be an exciting season of Overwatch League action. And remember, it's also coming to your backyard. Homestand weeks start season 3, which means that you're going to have all kinds of games all over the place. In fact, we're going to be talking about homestanding a little bit later on in the show. So stick around if you want a little bit more of an in-depth explanation about that. But listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for the 2020 season of Overwatch League? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we got to break down all the action, or lack thereof, at DreamHack Atlanta. But ahead next, you know, we talked about Death Stranding earlier and how weird of a game it can be. But when you try to describe other games, it can also get a little bit weird. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next.
Ready.
set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Man, explaining games is kind of weird, right? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. If you've ever wanted to know more about Darth Vader's magic gauntlet or Skippy the Jedi droid, what is wrong with you? Nevertheless, our producer Joe has taken the time to explain all the worst parts of the Star Wars extended universe. It may not be canon anymore, but he's explaining it. Check it out over on our YouTube channel or at CheckpointXP.com. You know, guys, I know you've been asking for this for a really long time. I see the tweets. I see the DMs. I see the emails. I see how badly you guys out there listening right now want to be able to sound off on your favorite video games or your favorite gaming news stories. And now you can. You can call the show directly. You can chat with myself or Robbie or Norris. It's super easy to do. All you got to do is head on over to any of our social media pages. You hear me say it all the time. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. And then send us a DM, a direct message. That's all you got to do. Sound off on your favorite games, gaming news, and your favorite teams. Or if you just want to say, what's up? Again, connect with us. Social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. So we got a call from Nathan from Denver, and I just kind of want to share it real quick.
Hey, have you guys played Death Stranding? Because it's super weird. Like, I don't understand what's going on. You're walking across huge plains of land to reconnect the internet and carrying an infant child in, like, a portable womb. I don't see what's going on. I was just curious what you guys had to think about it.
Well, I mean, you pretty much just described the game right there.
That's what it is. You nailed it. You and your magic baby reconnect the internet across America.
That's right. So I kind of thought, like, whenever you explain, like, his abusive, not just unique to Death Stranding because it's a strange game.
No.
If you explain any game, it starts to become really weird, right? Like, here, let me see if you guys can guess which game I'm talking about. A star athlete pursues father through time, but daddy is a genocidal whale beast.
Oh, that's Final Fantasy X.
Exactly.
The whale beast gives it away, by the way, in that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, Italian plumber does magic mushrooms and shoots fireballs while saving a princess from a maniacal lizard.
Mario.
Oh, that's obviously
all right.
Mario.
All right, let me show you guys how to do this. You gotta challenge yourself. Challenge your knowledge to it.
Okay.
Grizzled killer escorts vulnerable girl through disorderly garden center.
Oh, The Last of Us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got that one.
Yeah, that's easy.
Low-income employee discovers staff cuts, skives off work with his buds.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Oh, that is a hard one. I don't think I know that one.
Give me a clue.
Abe's Odyssey?
Oh, yeah. That's so good. Yeah. That was
a deep cut. Oddworld's a classic.
That was a deep cut.
Yeah, but it's getting a remaster, though.
It is. I got one. Vampire Politics. Just leave it at that.
Vampire the Masquerade?
Close.
Oh.
Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver.
That's, you know what? It could really go either way.
All right. I got another deep cut, hopefully, for you, Norris. I know this is one you've played before. A distraught mother attempts to reclaim her daughter from the clutches of a freak show devil boy.
Oh, freak show devil boy. That's tough, man. Give me a clue.
Give me a clue. They came out with that weird game where you have to have the giant cat.
What the hell?
The Last Guardian. They made The Last Guardian.
Oh. Project Eco. So,
Shadows of the Colossus?
Yeah, Eco.
Oh, it's Eco.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Unstoppable Super Soldier escorts lunatic AI to humanity's most vulnerable hotspots.
Metal Gear?
No. No. Think circular.
Oh, Halo.
Halo!
Okay. That's good.
It's almost like we play a lot of video games.
Don't AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
All right, it's time for Nailed It and Failed It.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
Who nailed it and who failed it?
On Checkpoint XP Radio.
This week's Nailed It is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Why would we be talking about AOC on a video game show? Well, She's hit Silver 4 in League of Legends.
Oh, congratulations!
How much higher than that is you, Norris?
Much!
That's what's up. So we had actually found a clip of AOC when she appeared on a Twitch stream a couple of months ago talking about her gaming history.
I never owned an N64, but I used to go to my cousin's house all the time. And she had Super Mario 64, Pokemon Snap, and probably a handful of other things.
The classics. There you go. AOC are nailed it. Stick around next hour. We're going to check out who failed it.
Need to stay up to date.
I need that.
Head to checkpointxp.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
So this week, Disney Plus finally came out.
10 million subscribers
now, you guys,
the first day.
You guys have actually taken the dive into Disney Plus. I'm holding off for HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're going to invest in a streaming platform, I have to go with what's on HBO Max. They just announced the other day Cartoon Network and Adult Swim content coming to HBO
Max.
That's what's up. But speaking of Disney Plus, what have your guys' experience with the streaming platform been?
I mean, when it actually worked, for sure, it was great.
What kind of problems were you seeing day one?
I mean, the usual stuff you see when an online game cuts the servers on for the first day and it just gets destroyed.
Yeah, just gets slammed.
Slow loading, yeah. Errors popping up. You know, yeah, you just have to do some reloads, hit play a couple extra times.
I've actually heard some deeper problems with the service, that episodes are appearing out of order, that even some seasons, like, they're just not there. So, I mean, just, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
For sure. And I think a lot of those issues could also be server-based. I mean, if you got a lot of server wonkiness and then this packet is lost and that packet is lost. So, you know, it's something that definitely could happen. But the content on the service itself, I couldn't be more pleased
with. Yeah, see, that's my main reason for getting it. You mentioned HBO Max is going to have a slew of content on there, and that's great, but the reason I get Disney Plus is for the content that's coming, you know, down the pipe. The Marvel stuff,
the
Star
content.
Wars stuff. That's right. The Mandalorian was great.
I'm glad you brought it up. So one episode of The Mandalorian out so far. I'm sure that both of you have watched it. Any initial responses?
Brilliant.
Yeah, look, I'm not the
brilliant? Really?
Brilliant.
One episode deep and you're ready to say brilliant.
It really is. It's brilliant. It's paced. It has all the veneer and polish of the new trilogy, but it has the pacing, very much so the pacing of original trilogy stuff. And it's something really cool about sort of like a faceless, barely voiced protagonist in a TV show.
That still captures you, by the way. I've never been the biggest Star Wars fan, but I am in for The Mandalorian.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. I could definitely see if it becomes like a Clint Eastwood Man with No Name trilogy combined with like Lone Wolf and Cub.
Give me some parallels. If you like X series, you're gonna like The Mandalorian.
Oh man.
I just told you. If you like old Clint Eastwood stuff,
that's probably the best.
So it's like heavily Western.
It's in space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I got a lot of Western vibe from it.
Like spaghetti Western sort of thing.
Dude, that line he gives, I can take you in warm or I can take you in cold.
Yep.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update. That's ahead in the next hour of Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we've got to talk about the action that went down at DreamHack Atlanta. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. November will wrap up with DreamHack Open Winter. That'll be running from November 29th through December the 1st. December will play host to the Capcom Cup, bringing the world's best Street Fighter players together. That event will run from December 13th through the 15th in Los Angeles. December 13th through the 15th will also play host to the DreamHack Open Sevilla, welcoming CSGO players from around the world. Wrapping up the esports year will be Epicenter 2019 in Moscow. That'll be running December 17th through the 22nd. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with Dream League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th in Leipzig, Germany. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's at checkpointxp.com.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
It was a hot weekend out in Atlanta. Actually, probably wasn't that hot, but the action was hot. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, one of our earliest affiliates, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs. For Checkpoint XP, the other identity and low team damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Make sure you check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. DreamHack Atlanta got down over the weekend, and there was some interesting esports action. We've got winners from Tekken 7, Mortal Kombat 11, and let's start off with Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
That's right. So first of all, for those of you wondering, DreamHack is a big tournament that happens over the weekend, happens every few months in different locations, but you have a bunch of different games that go down here, and the ones that we wanted to talk about today, the sort of bigger ones.
Yeah.
CSGO, we saw a Heroic defeating Sprout in a 2-0 match.
Let's actually bring in the only person in the room that still watches Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Weird Beard, how was this match?
Boring.
Really?
To be totally honest with you, it's a bunch of scrubby kind of tournaments. The people that go down and play at DreamHack are not top tier teams.
Oh, okay. So we also had ESL in action over the weekend. So am I to take it that the majority of the talent went to ESL and not to DreamHack?
Yeah, if you couldn't hack it at the ESL, really, you're looking at mopping up on DreamHack. Because, I mean, listen, Sprout can compete. They're good, Heroic, cool. Like, but if you put them in an ESL tournament, they're not in the grand.
You see how disrespectful he is. We got to stop asking.
No, but
he's not wrong, though.
It brings up a really valid point, and we're actually going to get to that. But we've got other results to talk about. Tekken 7.
Yep, we had Anakin won out in Tekken 7. We had Ninja. Ninja Killer.
I hope there were no younglings.
Ninja Killer.
Sorry.
That was bad.
No, come on.
In Mortal Kombat 11, Ninja Killer 212-1, and in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, we saw an epic showdown between Mars and Samsora that finished like so.
Okay, the fall away tether. Doesn't get anything off of it, though.
I can't believe that didn't get punished, man. I feel like that should have been game right there. He's got another...
Ow. Look on life, what he's gonna do here. The standard get up the back air. It's gonna be enough. And Mars from behind takes DreamHack Atlanta. Oh my god, he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. I don't know how he does it.
Need to stay up to date.
I need that.
Head to CheckpointXP.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about Counter-Strike Global Offensive action getting down at DreamHack. And the question I have here is, DreamHack is a much older school style of a tournament, right?
Yeah, especially a big LAN party.
Exactly, yes. It shares more in common with a LAN party or, you know, a small festival, a convention.
Yeah, they have the musical performances there.
Sometimes,
stuff.
Yeah, they do. I don't think that there were in Atlanta this year.
There were?
Oh, okay. But the thing is that, like, this is way different from what you experience when you go and you see League of Legends in action, which you will go see when Overwatch starts doing its home stands. And I want to ask you guys, does anyone even still care about this style of tournament?
The last time that I was excited about this was when ESL had introduced their Grand Slam. You know, you win four majors throughout the year, you get a big injection of cash prize. And in the second year, what was it, Team Liquid won it in record time, and now it just all seems old hat again to me.
Well, and I definitely think that's a really big issue, because as esports continue to sort of grow and submit themselves in the pop culture, more games and more leagues are going to want to pop up and control their sort of own narrative, if you will.
You're absolutely right, but you're using an acronym, and I'm afraid that we're throwing acronyms out that the audience isn't understanding. What is ESL? ESL is a competing tournament with DreamHack. They operate a lot in Europe, but they've done a few North American events in the past, but mostly these two organizations compete with one another and run tournaments in a lot of the same games, which is why we're seeing both of these entities kind of combined their efforts coming up for the ESL Pro Tour, trying to really be able to inject some form of narrative into CSGO.
And I think that's brilliant because Counter-Strike Global Offensive is a game that has been notoriously hard to follow. Because each region sort of has its own mythos and lore and you know, history behind it, because Counter-Strike is such an old game.
Yeah.
But by making this one singular league, or this one singular really tour, if you will, it makes it a lot easier to follow what are the big teams, who are the big names, and one singular leaderboard, too. That's another thing that's really important. Who's the best team in Counter-Strike? I don't know at this moment.
But are these two organizations coming together and combining their efforts and their power, is that going to be able to compete with a narrative on the level of OWL or on the level of League of Legends? I understand that they've got the lineage. I understand that they've got the history and that they've been a little bit fractured in terms of presenting a storyline, but we're talking about closed loop systems versus something where you can qualify to be able to appear at these tournaments. How is this going to be able to compete in this new era of esports?
Well, I honestly don't think it will be. It's not going to hurt them, and I think they're taking steps in the right direction to correct it. But when you have incidents like what happened with the Renegades a few weeks ago, where 100 Thieves bought out their entire roster,
right.
When you have after tournaments organizations that drop their entire roster and pick up entirely new players, I think that as long as stuff like that's going to happen, it's hard to have the same concise storylines and narratives that you do through an actual season like in League of Legends or Overwatch.
That's an amazing, good, you know, amazingly concise and good point, because ESL and Counter-Strike Global Offensive doesn't have a franchise model. When you have a franchise model, you know the same teams will be there no matter what. They're not going anywhere, and they're going to be doing their best to retain a lot of their same players. You're not going to see in a franchise model a lot of teams flip their entire rosters over
sure.
the course of a season.
And if I could interject real quick, just remember, like, the results that you get out of DreamHack with having teams that are below par, right, don't win new fans.
Exactly.
Overwatch League is great in that it's always constantly trying to bring more people to the dinner table.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike has always been, if you don't know the game, get out the door because we don't want you here. And having teams out that suck, you know what I mean? Don't win.
There's almost at the Shanghai Dragons, right? Worst first season ever. They went 0-40, and people still love them. If someone went 0-40 in CSGO, would we even know their name?
They wouldn't be in CSGO anymore.
That's a really great point. I want to bring it back, bring the focus back to DreamHack itself as a tournament. Are these style tournaments still going to be able to remain successful? Because I've seen some of the audience start to fall off of convention culture, which makes me think, maybe the way that DreamHack is going about it is the wrong way to go.
I'd not agree, because, you know, everybody is looking to make things a little bit more localized. It's crazy that as much as we are a global society and the internet has connected us, everybody wants to feel like something that they're doing has a connection to home, has a connection to where they're from or something close to them. And I think by having these sort of home and away home stands or this dichotomy, I think DreamHack will suffer, because I don't know if I can make it to Montreal or Atlanta or, you know, Seattle or whenever they have the next DreamHack. But I know for a fact that two times a year, if I'm from Chicago, the Huntsman will be playing there. Or I could get a double whammy if I live in a place like LA or Chicago, and I could get them 4 or 5 times a year.
That's a great point, Norris. But you know what? Listen, I can hear the DreamHack fans out there listening to the show right now, throwing their beverages that are in their cup holders at the radio because they're so furious with us. We still want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, use the hashtag XP on air. Coming up in the next hour of Checkpoint XP, Pokemon Sword and Shield is out, and I thought I would be super excited for this game, and
why
now
not?
I am Dexit, that's why. And if you want to know what Dexit is, stick around because we're going to tell you. But ahead next, we'll check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
This is Checkpoint XP. CheckpointXP.com.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome in
to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
And welcome into another hour of Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up this hour on Checkpoint XP, Pokemon Sword and Shield has released. So I think I have to explain why I'm not buying it. Plus, we got to talk about the effect that homestands are going to have on the Overwatch League in Season 3. It's going to be a big deal. Plus, we also got to find out who failed it. Those conversations all coming up this hour here on Checkpoint XP. But first,
gaming news update.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
The soft launch of Google's new game streaming platform, Stadia, started on Tuesday the 19th. Originally set to launch with 12 titles, Google slotted in an additional 10 games with the launch. Among the new launch titles are NBA 2K20, Final Fantasy 15, and Rage 2.
Listen, they needed to.
They needed to do something, considering that the service is launching with maybe half of its functionality, its advertised functionality, and then to only put out 12 titles for your release is abysmal. And I saw some people on social media, on Twitter, defending this decision, going, well, like, the Super Nintendo only launched with 9. Are you really comparing
the Super Nintendo?
Are you really comparing the Super Nintendo with Stadia? And by the way, every game that they put out on Stadia has already been available for years on other platforms, save for one.
That was my main point, is that these games are already out. They're all ports. So all you really have to do is just get the copy of the game at that point. It doesn't really, you know, require that much from a technical standpoint. So I didn't understand why they didn't launch with more titles. And on top of that, there's still nothing exclusive that requires me to
totally
really take the plunge right now.
Honestly, if they really wanted this to succeed, they needed a launch library of like 40.
Yeah.
40 different games, especially because it's not just buy into the service and get access to all of these games. It's buy into the service and then buy the games on top of it.
Norris, hold back your rage, but rumors are starting to swirl that BioWare and EA are planning a complete overhaul for their attempted looter shooter, Anthem.
Go away.
The Iron Man inspired game received heavy criticism at launch for having no content and since has seen very little updates. The details are allegedly still being worked out, so we're not sure if they plan on a full reboot of the game, changes via normal updates to the services, or if they'll come via an expansion.
Kill this game. Legitimately. Just kill it.
Just put it out of its misery at this point.
This game was dead on arrival. It was a game that had no business having the model that it had. It was given 10 times the hype that it deserved, and it had no place in anybody's PlayStation or PC ever anywhere.
At least Fallout 76 elicited a reaction from people. A lot of people hated it.
No, Anthem
maybe came out a little bit,
a wet fart.
Exactly. That's my point. Like, Anthem came out and everyone went, so what? And moved on with their life. I'd say that is a much worse reaction to months and months of hatred.
Players Unknown's Battlegrounds has officially ditched the random paid loot box model. In the game, players can use the currency they earn from matches to buy random crates that have cosmetics in them, such as armor or gun skins, but some of those crates require a key to open, and you need real money to open them. Those paid boxes have been removed from the random pool, given better cosmetic loot, and are available separate from the random boxes for purchase with in-game currency, but still require that key.
Listen, too little too late here. Yep. I've been checked out of PUBG. I haven't cared about any of their cosmetics. I haven't cared about any of their updates, and this is not going to get me back in.
No, it's not. And the thing that I'm really trying to understand about, you know, PUBG and what the future for PUBG is they tried to come out, establish a league and finance it with these loot crates and whatnot. And I didn't see the returns. I didn't see that any of it was making the game any money or growing the game.
I didn't see an audience.
No.
That was the biggest problem. And you can say in the abstract, yes, there is an audience out there for competitive PUBG. But when you looked in the OGN arena, I sure saw a lot of empty seats. So
yeah, but I'm saying, you know, you look at Overwatch, you look at League of Legends, and those esports scenes are also used as funnels to get more people to play the game.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming from PUBG, and I don't think this is bringing new people in either.
I agree.
After the results of the North American Regional Finals, Capcom revealed Street Fighter V Champion Edition. The new game will include all the content, skins, characters, stages, and music tracks to date. Major gameplay changes will be pushed to all players, not just the Collector's Edition owners. It will retail for $29.99 for new players and $24.99 if you own Street Fighter V already.
Is this a big deal?
No. It's not a big deal. I mean, if you're already a owner of Street Fighter V, you're going to get all the updates. You're all going to get the V-Skill 2s that are going to come out at the end of the year. But I will say, if you're somebody like me who's not about to spend $300 on Chun-Li skins and you just want all the stuff, yeah, the price of entry of $25 to get everything is saving a lot of money.
Yeah, fair enough.
Months after the release of the universally reviled Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer, we've gotten our first trailer with not just an updated Sonic, but what looks like some script rewrites as well. The new trailer shows a Sonic much closer to the classic look from the game, as well as a brief glimpse of Green Hill Zone.
That was nice. I gotta say,
that was really cool.
That was actually maybe my favorite part of the trailer.
Yep. And thus far, reaction to the new trailer has been overwhelmingly positive.
And I think that's well deserved. I've seen some of the figures coming out about what it's taken to remodel Sonic.
Yeah.
It has not been cheap. Something to the effect of $34 million was spent on remodeling this one movie. And I think that, listen, when you have a studio out there that listens to criticism like that, they should probably be rewarded with your patronage.
I agree.
Ayumi Ito, the voice actress for Tifa Lockhart in the upcoming Final Fantasy VII remake, has received several death threats.
Oh my god.
Ito first voiced Tifa in 2005's Kingdom Hearts 2. Two separate threats have been reported, one in relation to Ito's involvement with a TV drama and the other in relation to her work on Final Fantasy VII remake. These are the latest in a long line of such threats sent to video game companies. If you recall, Square Enix received similar threats in March earlier this year, as well as several times in August, one of which caused them to cancel a game tournament.
All right, let me put this out here right now. If you're sending death threats to people, especially if you're sending death threats to people over a video game,
yeah,
get a life.
Yeah.
Get a life.
Get a grip.
Get help. Get a grip.
Go to therapy.
You're a loser. Go to therapy. You suck. You're trash. You're not a great human being. And I have no qualms with saying that. Forget all the political correctness. You're a trash human, and you probably deserve to be locked up.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP gaming update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Robbie, for the update.
Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
Valve earlier this week shocked gamers all around the world as they announced a new game under one of their most beloved, well-respected franchises. And it's not Half-Life 3, but it's also kind of Half-Life 3.
No, it's
Robbie,
not.
Robbie, what's happening?
It's a new Half-Life game.
Barely.
It's Half-Life Alyx. Our flagship VR game is what Valve said in a tweet.
Go away!
And that is all that they have said.
How dare you, Gabe?
That's it.
How dare you, Gabe? How dare they do this to us?
Help me understand why you are so incredulous about this.
Okay, let me explain something to you. Half-Life 2 is one of the most beloved video games ever in the history of everdom, okay? People have been waiting for Half-Life 3 for a decade plus.
Actually, they've been waiting for the last chapter of the Half-Life 2 DLC for longer than a decade.
Whatever.
But you can lump both of them in
Fine.
Together, sure.
They've been waiting for new Half-Life content for a decade,
sure.
All right?
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. Then everybody hears rumblings of a new Half-Life game. Oh my god, is Half-Life 3 coming? We got Diablo 4 finally. Maybe this is the year they announce it. And no, they announce a VR game. A VR game based on a platform that all of 7 people own, okay? VR is so expensive, it has no adoption rate. Very few people even care to catch up or stay current on VR. Why? Why is Valve doing this?
Well, one of the reasons that VR has such low adoption rates is because the software that drives
it. There's nothing to play on.
Exactly.
It.
There's nothing really compelling to play. And until more companies start putting out things that are compelling, then I think it is going to continue to suffer from this problem. But there has been some successes. There's been some excellent software that's put out on VR headsets.
Okay, yes.
And this could end up being one of them. What if, Norris, what if this ends up becoming a situation where Half-Life Alyx is so revolutionary and means so much to the Half-Life canon that if you were at all a fan of the franchise, you have to go out and buy it.
But
what if it sells units?
See, I don't know, man, because I don't know if people are willing to spend $200 to play Half-Life Alyx. That's
but
the problem.
Before we get to that point, there will have to be companies that take that risk
exactly.
and fail.
Yes.
Yeah, if they take the risk and fail, fine, more power to them. But I'm saying you don't do this using the Half-Life franchise. I think when you have the amount of cachet and you have the amount of anticipation for new Half-Life content, you want to deliver something that people are going to actually want to go out and play. And I think if you make a $200 game, regardless of if you bundle it with a VR or not, people are going to have to make the extra investment of getting a VR headset and purchasing the game. That's going to price out a lot of people who want to play this game.
That, you know, you might not be wrong about that, but I sure remember a whole lot of people that bought, you know, peripherals and sticks and hard drives that came bundled with video games. And, you know, none of them were colossal flops.
No, but how many of them saved consoles or made consoles or became the thing that took a platform to the next echelon? None of them, okay?
Listen,
none of them.
Half-Life could be the thing that does it for VR. You
not
never
Half-Life
know.
Alyx.
You never
maybe
know.
Maybe Half-Life 3.
You never know.
Nobody well, cares about Alyx Vance.
Listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited at all about Half-Life Alyx? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, homestanding is coming to the Overwatch League in the next season. And coming up next, we're going to talk about the latest release in the Pokemon franchise, Sword and Shield, and why it may not be exactly what you want it to be. Stick around. That's ahead next.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Pokemon Sword and Shield, finally, a full console Pokemon game, and it's exactly the opposite of what I want. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Pokemon Sword and Shield, the latest edition of the full franchise Pokemon game, Generation 8, is now on store shelves, and there's a bit of backlash about it, but before we get to the brouhaha, Robbie, why don't you explain what is different about the new game?
So yeah, it is the first Pokemon game that actually takes place on what one would consider a next generation console, even though the Switch is also handheld, so you can throw it up on your TV. Massive game. Before you even hit Route 2, you get put into a place called the Wild Zone, which is very reminiscent of like an online sort of massively multiplayer game. You can run around, you can see other people running around, encounter a slew of different Pokemon.
Like, really?
Normally by Route 1 or 2, you have maybe what?
Some bug
three
types.
Or four, some bug types. I'm up to 50 Pokemon in my Pokedex.
Wow.
Depending on the weather or like what area you're in, you can encounter different ones. You can find like, I ran like a level 30 Onix
that
decimated my poor level 5 Sobble. Like, I wasn't going to catch that thing. And then trying to run away, it's like, you ain't going nowhere. I think probably the biggest thing is the Dynamaxing.
Yes.
Right.
We've got now the return of gyms after in Sun and Moon. Mm-hmm. They got rid of them for...
They were still gyms.
I don't know what...
Wait,
yeah,
they
what
were
it,
challenges.
Challenges.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But Dynamaxing, you essentially get a band and you use it to Dynamax or turn your Pokemon into a giant kaiju monster.
If you've played earlier games in the series, this is basically this generation's version of...
Mega Evolutions
or yeah. Z moves.
It's kind of a weird fusion of the two, but in honestly the most creatively bankrupt way possible. and it's set in the Galar region, which is
upside down England.
It's the United Kingdom, so there's a lot of mates. There's the copper type characters that you can get into matches with. And the gyms actually take place in gigantic, huge stadiums.
Yeah. Kind of like football stadiums.
That part is actually really, really fun and really cool.
Well, interesting. And, you know, it's not so much what they added with Sword and Shield. I've been a big Pokemon fan for a long time. My problem with this latest game comes from what they took out of the game, right? Like, I think, yes, you know, you can kind of go through the additions. You get to make your own character. It's a little bit more customizable. It's a little bit more online. Visually, it's a lot more impressive. But to be able to do that, they took out some of the core functionality that users and fans of the series have enjoyed for a really long time and just kind of, it's not that important.
Listen, what you're upset about is a concept that not every Pokemon, not all almost 1,000 Pokemon are in this game. Am I getting that correct?
That's just one of the things that annoys me about it. Yes,
what are the other things?
So what you're talking about is what a lot of people online are referring to as Dexit. Now,
that is incredibly stupid.
But it's really funny though. But here's the thing. I'm not as lit as the Dexiters, okay? I am not quite as fervent about it.
Are you one of the people that are upset that you can't turn off the experience share between your Pokemon?
No, I'm actually, I am upset about the 500 Pokemon that they didn't decide to add, right? That's 500. Like, when you have a game of over 800 different unique characters, and you remove 500 of them, that is a pretty serious gutting of the core of the game. The second thing that I'm mad about is that they did away with Mega Evolutions and Z moves, which
that's fair.
Really ends up upsetting the apple cart when you start talking about competitive aspects and other pieces of the Pokemon puzzle.
Now, I have to step in here and ask a question of you, Nate. How is that going to affect a regular player? Is that something that regular people are caring
about?
No,
before he answers that, it's not. Okay?
It doesn't.
Because as somebody who's played multiple generations of Pokemon, I never brought over my Pokemon. I always started with new Pokemon from the new game. Why? Because I want to experience it the way intended it from front to back. New game, new Pokemon.
All right, Scrubble-Ubba-Dub-Dub. Here's the thing, okay? This would impact your average user because let's say your all-time favorite Pokemon of ever is Squirtle.
No, it's not. Let's use Kabutops as the example.
Fine. Kabutops, right? If your Pokemon got removed, was one of those 500 that got removed, which, by the way, Kabutops was.
He sure was.
Also, Squirtle was, by the way, Bulbasaur. A lot of the really good Gen 1 classics gone out.
So you came home, and while you were at school, your mom sold your favorite blankie, and you're upset about it.
That's throwing a tantrum.
That's what it comes down to.
Oh, what? So I'm just supposed to replace Kabutops with the stupid ice cream Pokemon?
Okay, so let me step in here and try to calm some tension, since I feel like a normal person wouldn't be able to name all 800-plus Pokemon.
What are you implying by saying a normal person?
So what I'm going to ask you is to name whether or not this Pokemon is real or fake. Do you think that you guys are able to do this
challenge? I can do that.
I can do that with 7 generations of this game. I am prepared for this. Let's go!
All right, the first one I'm going to give is named Terrochrome.
Oh, God.
Fake, unless it's a new one.
Fake.
I'm also going to go with fake.
You pass. It's the first one is a fake.
All right.
Second one, Crocodile.
Oh, that's real.
That's a real one.
Yeah, that's definitely a real one.
Wow, 2 for 2 so far.
Yeah.
The next one, Floraplume, is a name of a real or fake Pokemon.
I'm going to say real.
I think that's a Digimon. Is that a Digimon?
The team can either confirm nor deny.
I'm going to go with fake.
Fake.
Norris finally gets one wrong. It is fake.
I only play one.
That's really close. I feel like that's 2 Pokemon that were put together.
Yeah.
Need to stay up to date. I need that.
Head to CheckpointXP.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
All right. Well, you know, my favorite Pokemon may have been removed from Sword and Shield, but that doesn't make it a bad game.
No.
Plenty of responses and reviews have been flowing in on Twitter. Let's take a look at some of these reviews for the latest edition of Sword and Shield.
Yeah. So Alpha Mike, with a picture of his character up, says, "Forget potions, revives, and status heals. I spent all my money dressing my character because that's what truly matters."
That would be me.
And yes, they have, just like in most recent previous games, they've upped the amount of stuff you can buy. Norris, you realize that they have on-field uniforms for each type?
Oh my god.
You get to pick the number that goes on the back of your jersey.
Oh my god!
So wait, I get to do more than just pick an image that goes on my t-shirt?
Dude, I got a sweet hoodie that you can see, like the Shuckle t-shirt that I have underneath it. Yeah, it's pretty rad.
Wait. There is a Shuckle t-shirt?
Yes, there is specifically a Shuckle t-shirt.
I am not okay with that.
That's amazing.
Out of all the things I've learned about Sword and Shield, this is the thing I'm not okay with.
Hexel says, literally like 30 minutes into this game and my heart is weeping, and has a picture of them playing with their Pokemon in the camp system. You can play like with a little cat toy, like throw a ball and things will go fetching after it and bring it back to you.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
This is the aspect of Pokemon I just didn't need. I didn't need more cute.
You That's are the because only you're person. A heartless grump, okay? No. I want to play with the... Let's go, Eevee. I played with the little Eevee, and he was like, I love my Eevee.
I saw a video where someone was trying to play fetch with their little Corgi Pokemon, and the spider one kept going and grabbing and like bringing it back, and they're like, I just want to play with my dog. Ultima says, listen, I love the animals in Harvest Moon, and Wooloo hit all the right notes. I will die for this lad. And let's take a more real hard-hitting response here. This one actually comes courtesy of Nicole Carpenter from Polygon. She says, the surprise in Sword and Shield is that I'm still finding things that surprise me, even after putting in so many hours. It's in how Game Freak has made a linear game feel so much less linear. Make no mistake, Sword and Shield is not an open-world game. There are limitations, but the game's designed for me to not notice them, and mostly... I don't.
That's really interesting.
And this is something that I've actually been trying to put my finger on what's different about this game, what feels so great about it. And Nicole hits it perfectly. I've put like 10 or 15 hours in it, and I'm still barely, haven't got to the first gym yet.
Sure.
Which is using the first 20 minutes of a game, but there's just so much else to do and explore. It's amazing.
That's been one of the big criticisms of the Pokemon series, has been it's so linear, it's so on a set path the entire time, front to back. Even the Nintendo 3DS games, Sun and Moon, Ultra Sun and Moon, were exactly the same way. So knowing that it is a little bit more open makes me want to play it a little bit more, but I'm going to wait for the Ultra Sword and Moon or Ultra Sword and Shield to come out. Yeah, exactly. So that they have the entire national decks and they have all of the stuff that I'm complaining about. See, this is why I'm not so angry about all of this stuff, is because I know that there's going to be another version of the game that comes out in a year that has all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, see, that's what I've been trying to tell everyone who's all lit up and over the top on Dexit, is you always have your mid-gen game where they improve upon stuff even further. And that was the big reason for not having all the Pokemon in the national decks, was we didn't have enough time to do all of it. Yeah. They will come.
And you know what? I think we're going to have to put up a Twitter poll about this. Make sure you follow us on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Use the hashtag XP on air and vote in our poll. Did your favorite Pokemon get deleted? And how does that make you feel? Again, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP. Well, speaking of social media, we ask you this week on social media, as a part of our social media question, what your favorite Pokemon is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we're going to talk about the effect of homestanding on the Overwatch League. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming.
A production of Beasley Esports XP.
Homestanding starts next season, and this is a really big deal for esports. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as WCBT 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. For all the latest in college college esports. Make sure you check out Checkpoint XP on campus. Our own Norris Howard hosts alongside Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya from the University of Las Vegas. They bring you the biggest stories in collegiate esports from a perspective of the students who live and breathe it. Check it out over at our website, checkpointxp.com, or look for Checkpoint XP on campus wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
Overwatch League is coming into local cities in its next season, and this is a really big deal because this is the first time that a esports league has ever really tried something like this.
Yeah, you know, for the past two seasons, the Overwatch League has been being praised for being the first geolocated franchise model, but that hasn't actually came true yet. You know, 99.9% of fans, unless you're in Los Angeles, haven't actually had a chance to go and sit down and watch their teams play. And to me, this is like a promise finally being fulfilled by the Overwatch League.
It is, but there is a stark difference between how this has gone. We've called it the home and away model, but it's not necessarily that.
Right, so explain really quick what a homestand is.
Yeah, so a homestand, essentially, instead of having Team A and Team B play each other where one is at home and one is traveling, instead a number of teams will travel to a home venue and multiple games will be played over a weekend. So instead of having one team play another team and maybe there's a series, you'll have a bunch of teams playing each other, and hopefully that will attract players and team and fans from the region to come and take part in it.
Okay, let's say I'm a fan of the Florida Mayhem, right?
I'm sorry.
I know. And we've got a homestand that's coming to Florida.
That's right.
So what you're telling me is I'll get to see my team in action, the Florida Mayhem.
That's right.
But I'll also get to see whoever they're facing off against and several other teams from around the league.
That's right. So in that same weekend, whether it may be Florida versus, you know, New York, you'll also maybe see Boston versus
Philly.
Dallas. Yeah, Boston
whatever
versus
it is, yeah.
Philly, mm-hmm. Or Dallas versus Houston in that same weekend. So it'll be multiple games and multiple teams, but somebody will be hosting the rest of the division, if you will.
So what does this mean for Overwatch League?
Personally, I mean, when you look at it, it's finally going to get a chance for people who have maybe now been invested because of the franchise model to really push that home, right? We're at a point now where once you actually get the teams playing in their home cities, people who maybe wouldn't have been pulled in before by esports now see that they have a team to root on, right? And there's something that comes from that tribalism of knowing that this is my team and I get to go watch them and cheer them on. That's going to capture people that may not have ever been captured by esports up until that point.
I think it's absolutely awesome, and I think the biggest thing is that you're going to be able to see teams have more of a regional and local identity. I think that's the biggest thing that the Overwatch teams and, you know, esports in general has missed. We know that if you travel to Philly and play the Eagles or play the Flyers or any of the teams out there, that you're in for a rough time. Not just from when you go onto the field to play, from the moment you get off the bus, you're going to have a rough time. And I think that is sort of the feeling that esports has yet to really capture, where an identity of a town can be funneled through and represented through that team. I hope that we begin to see that with Overwatch League.
Clearly, this is going to be a big season for the future of the Overwatch League. Listen, in case you missed it in our first hour, find out who nailed it over at our website, over at checkpointxp.com. So, let's check out who failed it for Nailed It and Failed It.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
Who nailed it and who failed it?
On Checkpoint XP Radio.
So who failed it? This week, it's Echo Fox, who have officially disbanded the team, the company, and let go all of their talent.
Ouch.
After an investor sent multiple threatening and racist emails to the team's management. Newsweek's Stephen Asark shared his opinions on Cheddar Esports.
The people who are left with Echo Fox, your investors, they don't really care about esports. Mm. At the end of the day, the investors that are left over are there to get the money.
Do you know someone who nailed it? What about someone who epically failed it? Make your submission over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Need to stay up to date.
I need that.
on to CheckpointXP.com for the latest in esports and gaming news.
Another major release this week in the world of video games was Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Star Wars has a history of releasing video games just ahead of a big movie release, and we know that we're headed headlong into Episode 9. So joining us, we've got Joe, producer Joe, in the studio. Your new title, producer Joe. How's that? How's that title working out for you so far?
You know what? It's a lot of phone calls all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone all the time.
You seem to be working a lot more than you used to.
That's for sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's talk Jedi Fallen Order, because this has been the latest entry in the Star Wars franchise. Video games has been a rocky like genre of games to be making in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, they have a history of releasing games right before a major movie comes out. They also have a history of releasing bad unfinished games, so it is a lot of legacy to live up to there.
Listen, I don't think that the reception for your Star Wars game can get much worse than Battlefront 1 and 2.
Well, especially 2, where there was a massive boycott and it almost like tanked the microtransaction industry single-handedly.
I mean, yes, that's a good point, yes.
So I did get to play Jedi Fallen Order all week, and this really, I felt like, was one of my last gasps with EA to impress me with a Star Wars title, and they did.
So you're done now, right?
No.
It's good. Oh, no.
It's good.
No!
Okay, what is good about it?
Okay, so I played all weekend, and what I really like about it, one of the most important decisions that you can make in this game is the very first one you're presented with, which is, how difficult do you want it to be? What difficulty are you playing on? Because what you choose is going to drastically change the experience of the game. If you are going into a Star Wars game, what they realized about Star Wars games is there's two different mindsets. Do you want a difficult game, or do you want to be a god-tier Jedi? And you can do either of them in this one. If you pick the low difficulty, it is the Force Unleashed 3. If you pick the hard difficulties,
yeah,
it's Dark Souls in space.
Really?
Exactly. And to be fair, there is a lot of parkour and wall running, and it's very good. It's a lot of fun. It's fluid. But if you want to know some of the things that you can do, make sure you head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com. I've got a full tome of a review written about the game. There is no spoilers in the review, so don't worry about that, but I do write quite a bit about the gameplay and the narrative.
All right, well, there you have it. Joe, we appreciate you coming in and educating us a little bit on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Where does the name come from?
The bowels of hell, as far as I'm concerned. What a terrible name.
Does it have any connection to the story at all?
Yeah, you play as a Jedi in the ruins of the Jedi Order after Order 66.
The Fallen Order.
Yeah, the Fallen Order.
It's pretty self-explanatory,
you got
guys.
It.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess there you go. Well, listen, have you been playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order? Are you a big fan of it, as Joe seems to be, surprisingly? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air so that, you know, we know that you're coming in from the radio show. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, we're going to connect with our social media followers, because we asked you this week what your favorite Pokemon is. And bonus, we're going to tell you whether or not they got cut from Pokemon Sword and Shield. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The major esports leagues are on break, but they'll be back in early 2020. Call of Duty League is set to debut on January 24th, while Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. November will wrap up with DreamHack Open Winter. That'll be running from November 29th through December the 1st. December will play host to the Capcom Cup, bringing the world's best Street Fighter players together. That event will run from December 13th through the 15th in Los Angeles. December 13th through the 15th will also play host to the DreamHack Open Sevilla, welcoming CSGO players from around the world. Wrapping up the esports year will be Epicenter 2019 in Moscow. That'll be running December 17th through the 22nd. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with Dream League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th in Leipzig, Germany. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's at CheckpointXP.com.
Ready, set,
Go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 FM in Fort Myers, Florida. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. Whether it's our podcasts, our thoughts on the latest stories in gaming and esports, or some Checkpoint XP merch. It all lives over at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. This week, in celebration, I guess, of Pokemon Sword and Shield, we ask you what your all-time favorite Pokemon is. And as a special bonus, we're going to tell you whether or not they got deleted out of Sword and Shield in Dexit.
This is the saltiest social media question we've ever had.
No, I'm making a point.
Okay.
I'm making a point here, Norris, because a lot of people's favorites just evaporated from these games.
I will have you know that as the person who does the social media question, more of these will be in than will be out.
You know what? I don't want to hear your evaluation. Okay, you just read the responses, and we'll let the audience make their own conclusion.
Right. Well, first, of course, we have to start with ourselves, guys.
All right. So I'll throw one
all
out
right,
there.
Go ahead.
I'll throw out an old faithful. Did the homie Charizard make it?
Charizard,
yeah,
was the only Gen 1 starter to make it into Sword and Shield.
Which is a crime in and of itself.
Ha! Fire starters always!
Mm-hmm. The one that I mean, I have a lot of favorites. I really can't narrow it down to a single one. But for the purposes of this, I'm going to go with the first non-fire starter that I ever picked.
Okay.
And that was Piplup. Did not make it into the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You should have stuck with the fire starter.
Sorry, they wouldn't have made it either.
Shut up.
Obviously, Nate's going to go with
Kabutops. Of course. My name is Captain Kabutops in the Pokemon world.
Nobody calls you that.
Everyone calls me that.
No one calls you that.
Pokemon trainer, okay? And yes, we have already established that my beloved Kabutops did not make it into Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is a crime.
Yeah.
I would have liked to be able to enjoy these new games, but, you know, I'm too busy over here being wounded. Anyway, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently going through our social media question and asking you what your favorite Pokemon is. And as a bonus, we're going to tell you whether or not they made it into Sword and Shield. Actually, Weirdbeard, we forgot to ask you, what's your favorite Pokemon of all time?
It is my very first holographic Pokemon card that I ever got. Happens to be Wigglytuff.
Weirdbeard.
Yeah.
Wigglytuff did not make it.
The cut? I'm Team Nate. Look at me.
Yes.
I am the captain now.
Team Nate.
Yes. Weirdbeard knows. All right.
Ben over on Facebook says Snorlax forever. And I'll have you know that the big boy did indeed make it into Sword and Shield.
Of course, he's iconic. It would be like cutting Pikachu.
Our other producer, Chad, saying Vulpix forever. Vulpix did indeed make it, Chad. Congratulations.
Again, no surprise considering they gave it an entirely new form in Sun and Moon.
Starlight from over on Twitter says Dragonite.
Ooh.
Which, unfortunately, the original pseudo-legendary
did not make
cut
the cut
from the deck.
A lot of dragon types did not make the cut, which is really sad because that's an underrepresented type in all of Pokemon to begin with.
And not to mention, having it in, you know, fake England, you would think it'd be all kind of dragons.
You would think,
yeah.
Right?
Sarascopic says that her true favorite for battle is Gardevoir, but her actual favorite, look at those tiny little arms, Larvitar. And Sarah, I have some good news for you. Both of them made it into Sword and Shield.
So it sounds like y'all making a fuss about a bunch of nothing.
Well, I mean, there were a few. You know what? So Nate doesn't, you know, accuse me of being biased here. Let's go with Alex, who says Victini for sure. And first of all, Alex,
you can't pick a mythic.
You are the only choose a mythic or a legendary.
Boo!
Come on.
Boo!
Not in.
Of course
not
it's not. Because the only Wasn't it the only legendary that made it in was like Mew and Mewtwo outside of the original legendary?
You should never expect a legendary to reappear ever.
Yeah, nope.
Don't like it. Let's see. I don't like it.
Sarah here on Facebook says, Bennett, without a doubt, did not make it in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. It's very sad.
Oh, no. My mom answered this question.
All right. I have to know, what is Robbie's mom's favorite Pokemon?
All right. So she asked her boyfriend, Ryan, who said Puff Puffer, who apparently he just created on the spot.
That's not a Pokemon.
No, it's not. And my mom says, I like that one that is the turtle. Can't think of his name.
Squirtle.
Probably. And Ryan, mom, I'm sorry, but neither of them, Puff Puffer or Squirtle, made it in.
Is that the new name for the Garlean coughing? Is Puff Puffer? Because that would make a lot of sense.
You know, you might be onto something there. Oh, this one broke my heart here. Rob from Facebook says, every game of Pokemon, I always save my fire type for a Flareon, and I name her after my dog who passed away years ago, so our adventures never have to end. And I am so glad, Rob, that I can tell you that Flareon is still in the game.
Forever Eeveelutions!
Of course, Eevee is going to be in every Pokemon game ever made. Again, it would be like deleting Pikachu. It doesn't make sense.
Yep. Osiris Gold on Twitter says, I love Gengar. And Osiris Gold...
Gengar is a really rad Pokemon.
Gengar made it.
What about like some of my secondaries? Is Pelipper in there?
Pelipper is indeed in there. I actually ran across level 40 in the Wild Zone.
All right. Yeah, I'm okay with that. All right.
Reverse Gremlin on Twitter. We should take a minute here to throw some shade at her. Says, you know what? I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if it's the obvious one. Pikachu is my favorite, and I'll die on this hill.
All right. Well, first of all, have a blast. Second of all,
you're so basic.
Pick better Pokemon.
That's basic.
I bet you're drinking a pumpkin spice latte and wearing Ugg boots as well. But yes, Pikachu is in.
Pikachu and all of his various forms. In fact, he gets when you Gigantamax him
Gigantamax.
What is
if
it?
You
Gigamax
if you Dynamax him.
Dynamax. Thanks.
But you have to have had Let's Go Pikachu, and then at the first train station, someone gifts you a Pikachu, and that one when Dynamaxed has his original fat Pikachu.
Fat Pikachu.
Fat Pikachu makes its epic return in Sword and Shield. Listen, I have a special place in my heart for Fat Pikachu. I have one of his original stuffed animals, which
That is
not Fat Pikachu.
I'm almost 90% sure that it was not made by...
That is Toxic Avenger Pikachu.
By Game Freak or Nintendo, but the tag has long been cut off, so I can't actually substantiate it.
Ravmall on Twitter says, Blaziken, Gen 3 best gen. I'm sorry, Ravmall, but Blaziken did not make
One of your coveted fire starters did not make it in.
You still pick it. You still pick a fire starter. No Teddy Ursa and no Ursa Ring.
No, but Stuffle and then the giant abomination bear that he turns into.
Yeah.
They made it, unfortunately.
I'd rather have Teddy Ursa.
Me too. Talon here on Twitter says Marowak
did not make it.
What?
In.
Marowak, what?
Which also means Cubone.
No Cubone Bone.
Bro Hammett says Cubone. He needs a hug. Yes, he does, because he did not make it in.
Oh, that's sad. No,
well.
What's up, Rick?
If there was a Pokemon that you were going to yeet out of the National Dex and you had the choice of anyone, what one are you yeeting?
They put Badoo and Zigzagoon in there. I'm yeeting both of them.
Yeah, no Zigzagoon. No Zigzagoon.
Whatever the stupid ice cream Pokemon is.
Vanilla.
Or the sand castle. Those Pokemon. Pokemon, if I could delete them out of all of the games.
Nope, yeah. I'm with you.
Make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And don't forget to use the hashtag XP on air. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles, and the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Norris Howard, alligator wrangling by Rick Hoggerhide, and of course, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and my co-hosts, Robbie Landis and Norris Howard. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.